as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Okay, I'm recording whenever you're
ready. Let's do it, man.
Hi, my name is Rose Eleanor Dougal, and this song is called Space to Be.
Welcome to The Sessions at Midori House. I'm Andrew Muller. Our guest this week is Rose Eleanor Dougal. Rose first emerged more than a decade ago as part of Brighton indie group The Pipettes. Since then, she has pursued a solo career around collaborations with a diverse array of other artists, most notably Mark Ronson, of whose touring band she is a long-serving member. Rose came to Midori House with three tracks from Stellula, her first solo album in 7 years. Eleanor Dougal, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is, as you don't need telling yourself, 7 years since your previous solo album. I'm not assuming you have spent that 7 years sitting idly about doing absolutely nothing at all, but what is the reason for the delay? Was it that you were just more interested in other things, or did life just get in the way, or what?
I was actually doing a lot of music in that 7 years. Shortly after my album came out, I ended up being asked to write and tour with Mark Ronson. So that took up a couple of years. And then I put out an EP. I wrote some songs for a film. And what else did I do? And then I wrote this album. So, yeah. And I played piano for another friend. And, like, so that actually I know it feels like I haven't really been doing anything, but there was some stuff.
Well, was the album being assembled continuously over that period, or did you get to a point of thinking, I have to now actually sit down and write a record?
Most musicians probably feel the same, but I just think naturally about the next thing immediately as soon as it's done. So it did take quite a long time, especially after the experience with Mark Ronson, which was such a whirlwind, and I'd never really been in such a kind of professional pop environment. And so it took a little bit of time to reconfigure myself, and there's a performance element which I kind of shunned after being in the Pipettes, and I just wanted to hide behind my fringe and be all sort of indie and moody. But then I sort of was forced onto these big stages playing with Mark, and I realised that actually there is something to negotiate between being moody and indie, and also maybe not writing completely sort of self-indulgent insular music. That took quite a long time to find that relationship, if you know what I mean.
Being forced onto the big stages, as you put it, though, with Mark Ronson, once you've got these images of sort of shotguns looming from behind the curtains. But once you were out there, did you discover that you had kind of a taste for it and you quite enjoyed it?
Yeah. And maybe you're not meant to admit to that kind of thing. But it wasn't just like a showing off thing. It was more just understanding that, especially getting to work with MNDR or like Boy George would be there, or Spank Rock, all these like incredible, very individual artists who have their own sort of physical vocabulary in the way they perform. And actually, it doesn't have to be this really sort of disgusting process. I learned a huge amount, and it made me think a lot about the kind of music that I wanted to write and how that might translate into a live situation, and what are the things I really, you know, I still want to write sort of emotional music, but maybe it doesn't have to be quite so.
Because Stellular is a quite unabashed pop record.
Yeah, I guess it is. I don't really know what pop music is anymore. So everyone keeps telling me I've written this pop music, but I don't know. Yeah, it is a pop record in the sense that I really believe in like really strong melodies and songcraft, and I want to write choruses, and I want to try and sort of shape these songs into something concise. And I think that the best pop music does do that. But at the same time, I want to maybe not just sing about dancing and stuff like that. So I don't know if there's a way to kind of bring the two things together, but that was kind of part of the ambition. This is called Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
In terms of the music, did you set yourself particular frames of reference, whether it was in terms of a group of other artists or a particular time period or anything like that that you were drawing on?
The initial sort of reference for all my songs is kind of rooted in 60s folk and female voices and that sort of stuff. But then I was sort of thinking a bit about Fleetwood Mac, and then I was also thinking a bit about Broadcast. So yeah, there's a lot of different things, but I did definitely want to try and, compared to my first solo album, which I think was me sort of like working out how I wanted it, I sort of threw the kitchen sink at all the different sounds, like, wow, look at all these things. I wanted this time try and refine the sort of sonic palette, and I wanted to make sure that everything was there. There's no superfluous element. And we spent quite a lot of time taking things away during the recording process, and I just wanted to try and find like the essence of the song.
And in terms of the essence of the song, I guess, from the lyrical point of view, were there particular themes you were trying to pursue there? There's a song you haven't played today, which is on the album, which I suspect people are going to ask you about more than once, Closer, which is this absolutely excruciatingly well-observed closing time internal monologue, as it were, which does sound, and I mean this as a compliment, like you basically staggered home and wrote it down.
Yeah.
Is that a relatively accurate guess?
One of the themes in the record is, you know, during the time that I was making it, I was living in East London, I was working in a really shitty bar, sort of living quite nocturnally, and I suppose, and amongst all of that, sort of witnessing my friends and all the people around me kind of negotiate this sort of slightly unsteady footing that has kind of developed over the last few years, especially in London. It's quite a weird place to be young at this point, I feel.
I would think.
That was just quite a pervasive energy around me. That kind of uncertainty and reveling in the kind of shambles of the whole thing. I think that was kind of going on in my mind quite a lot at the time.
But just finally then, you said earlier that it is in the nature of recording artists that once they've done the one thing, they're already thinking about the next thing. This album was actually finished quite a while ago,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So you've had some time since then to think. Have you thought about the next thing
yet? I have. I'm sort of halfway through the next one. I'm determined not to have another 7 years between this and the next record. I hopefully actually might be putting something out next year. So we'll see.
Rose Eleanor Dougal, thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much. This song is called Strange Warnings. Snatchers and pros.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Rose Eleanor Dougal. Her new album, Stellula, is available now on Vermilion Records. Details of tour dates and so forth may be had from roseeleanordougal.bandcamp.com. Join us again at the same time next week. We'll have more live music from Jodie Abacus. I'm Andrew Muller. Thanks for tuning in.